chapter 1. And also, I want you to turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Put your finger in both and say amen as you stand. Well, that's three things at once. I don't know. Do one at a time. Stand in honor to God's word. Good to see you tonight. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. We preached not too long ago on the glory of God. Now we want to appreciate Him in how that we can give Him glory and the ways that we give Him glory practically in our life. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you need to give God glory. The Bible said out of the mouth of babes comes forth wisdom. So we can give God glory in that wisdom that God gives to us. So put your finger at Isaiah. We'll be turning there lastly. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. This whole chapter is a great chapter. God the Father is talking to God the Son. He is setting His place in the New Testament, exalting Him. And He's actually saying that we are one and the same. And here in verse 3, it talks about Jesus and the Father speaking, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now the whole chapter is good. It needs to be read together. Maybe you can read that this week. Turn over now to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Father, we realize and recognize with everything in us that You're God, that there's none like You, that everything about You is beautiful, wondrous. And we exalt You tonight. We lift You up tonight the only way and the best way that feeble lips and trembling lips can. Your creation praises and glorifies You, the Creator. And we pray, Father, that You'd have Your way in our hearts, in our lives. Dear God, that we'd always give You glory in everything. And we'd let no one and nothing steal the glory that we should give to You. Show us tonight in real ways how that we can give You glory and why we should. And we'll give You praise and give You honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, you may be seated. Giving God glory should be our daily lifestyle. It should be something that we wake up doing, something that we go to bed doing. When you give God glory, you empower the power that is in each of us. The Bible said that we live and move and have our being in Him, that we move in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that as He has empowered us, we're to live our lives. When we give glory, it releases the power that is already resident in every child of God. We have it. You have it. Every saved individual has that power of God in them. And as we give God glory, as we fulfill the ultimate calling of our life, God reveals and makes plain and manifests His glory in our lives. And that's what God does. So as we acknowledge Him as our Creator God, as we acknowledge Him as the beautiful one that we glorify, God empowers us to live more holy, more godly, more powerful for Him than we ever could without that. And a lot of Christians go through life and they're good Christians. Don't get me wrong, but they fail to glorify God. They fail to manifest His power outwardly. They fail to give Him the direct praise that He should and does deserve. Now, the Bible said in Isaiah 43:7 that God says, "I have created man for My glory. Yea, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 instructs us to do everything in the glory of the Lord, by the glory of the Lord. So everything we do, everything within the scope and the perimeter of our life, should be given to the glory of God. God said it that way. Giving glory to God means acknowledging God in all of His beauty, all of His holiness, all of His glory. It is glorifying Him, lifting Him up, honoring Him in His majesty. Now, when we glorify God, we're not giving Him more glory. You can't give Him more glory. He is who He is. So when we glorify God, we're simply acknowledging that He is who He said He was. We're acknowledging who He really is. We can look at a beautiful sunset and we say, wow, what a glorious sunset. We're not adding to the glory of that sunset. We're acknowledging that sunset. And as children of God, when we give glory to God, we're not imputing it to Him more glory because He's all glorious. We're saying, God, I acknowledge that what You said You were and who You said You are is true. And we glorify God. We bless God in the ways that God means for us to bless Him. And that is what God wants in our lives, because when we glorify Him, we recognize His glory, His beauty in all of His creation, all that He has done, all that He is. We're acknowledging His sovereignty. We're acknowledging the providence of God over our lives. Not just that He's over everything and can do everything, but He cares for me. And He cares for you. And He cares for those you love. And we acknowledge that providence. And it releases the faith of God in our hearts to do something great and wonderful for Him. It gives a peace when there is no peace. It gives a joy where there's no joy. It gives an understanding when you don't see with physical eyes. It does something to us when we glorify Him. Many people glorify Him with raised hands. They'll do it at home. They'll do it in a car by themselves. And they'll just glorify Him, praise Him. Some do it with closed eyes and bowed head in a submissive attitude, giving to God His glory, His due. It doesn't matter how you do it, but it does matter that you do it. We should glorify God every day of our lives. It'll change who you are. It'll transform your life. It'll make you into His image more closely than you've ever been in your life. You're struggling with something in life, temptation, trouble, chaos, worry, anger, fear, then you need to glorify the Lord. When you see Him clearly, as Isaiah here must have seen Him clearly, when you understand Him, as Hebrews tells us, who He is, then you're going to be able to glorify Him in a greater way, in a greater things. The Bible said in Genesis 1:27, and I know we bring that up a lot. We have in the last few days, and I think it's good, that God created them male and female, and He created them in His image, after His own image. You and I need to glorify God because He's creator. A lot of times we say, well, I'm worshiping the Lord and I thank Him for all that He has done for me. Listen, worshiping the Lord is not because He has done anything. We worship Him and we stand in awe of Him because He is God. Amen? He's creator. There is none like Him. And we glory in who He is because of who He is, not because of what He has done. The Bible said that we were created that. We're the very product of God in His creation. Nothing else can be said of that. No other created being, even angels, can say that they are a product of God who is their maker. We are a product of God Himself. We're created in the image of God. So we, unlike any of the other in creation, can glorify God greater than anybody else. And we are to glorify Him because He is creator God, giving glory to Him for everything, acknowledging Him as creator, acknowledging Him as God, as one that is able to do everything. He's sovereign over everything, but one that loves His creation. And I like that. I thank God that He loves me because I'm unlovable. The Creator looked down and He saw something in you, something in me, and it was His grace He saw. It was His mercy He saw. It was His glory He saw. And He created us in His image. And I don't think we fully understand what He has done there and the glory that He's done, but when we show God that we're grateful for the life that He has given us, that we're grateful for Him creating us in His image, acknowledging Him for life, the Bible says that we're glorifying Him as creator. Not only should we glorify God because He's creator, but we should glorify God because He's our provider. The Bible talks about that. It talks about Jehovah Jireh, and it calls out that name, a name of God, and it has meaning with it. It says, the Lord will provide. Say those four words with me. The Lord will provide. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you need God to do in life, He's going to provide for you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. God shall supply all your needs. He's God the supplier. You need a bill made, then you need to glorify Him and release that power by faith for God to do something in your life. See, a lot of times we murmur, we complain, we feel sorry for ourselves. We don't have what Joe down the road has or Jack. We're struggling financially. And God is trying to teach us a lesson. We're children of God. If we're His, David said, I've never seen His seed forsaken nor begging bread. And we won't. God's got you back. He's your provider. He's going to take care of you. I don't care what age you are and what you need. I remember I studied for a test and I was wanting to do good on the test as a teenager. And I prayed and I asked God, I said, God, I need to pass this. I have no idea how to do it. It was calculus. It was awful. It was hard. And I was trying to do it, and I was just really out of my element. It was hard. And I remember taking it and taking the test. I made a 97. I made the second highest. I said, God, you could have let me move up one little place. But it was Him. It was Him. And it wasn't me. And I just thanked the Lord after we got out of it because that was the end. That was all I had to do. And I got through it. And I praise God for that. God provided. God provided. I'm glad that God provides when we've asked Him to provide, that He does that for you and I. And whatever you need tonight, God's going to provide for you because He promised that He would. He promised that He would. But understand the concept that we're talking about tonight. When you learn to glorify Him in the time of trouble, then God will release His power in your life because you're trusting Him by faith. You're praying to Him with thanksgiving. You're allowing God to move in your life because you're believing that He is and that He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. See, as we glorify Him and God's glory shines in us, my goodness, the Lord gets glory. You're not giving Him more. You're just acknowledging who He is. And see, when we don't give Him glory, when we murmur or complain, we're saying, God, You can't do this. God, You're not big enough. You're not who You said You were. And I don't know about you. If you thought that about me, kind of, I would take a front at that. What have I ever done to let You down? You know, but as man, there's times that maybe I have, but God never has. You can trust God. Say that with me. I can trust God. I can trust God no matter what. God is my provider. But not only that, we give glory to God because He's our protector. He protects us. My goodness, the times that He's protected me. I shouldn't. But now I love to read and eat and pray at the same time while I'm driving. I've even been known, and my granddaughter, we had stopped at McDonald's and got some things, and I said, well, let's pray. Well, without thinking, I was driving down the road. I closed my eyes, and Layla looked over and said, Papa, open your eyes. She thought I was kidding. I let her think that for a moment. I said, Layla, thank you. But God took care of me. I do that a lot, and I shouldn't, I'm sure. And don't get on to me. Donna does always. My kids do. But I've never dented. I've never wrecked, and I'm not going to knock on wood, praising God for it. I give Him glory. I've never dented a piece of metal. I've never done that in all of my life. I've drove in a lot of cities and a lot of countries. God is my protector. I'll assure you that if I ever have a wreck, I can say, God, it is Your will. What are You trying to teach me here? But I give God glory because He's my protector. I give Him glory because He takes care of me. The best way that we can see His protection, the best way we can bring it in our life is to give Him glory, and we allow the power of God to bring itself and manifest itself, and it comes to light as we praise Him. What are you going through tonight that you need God to step in and be protector? That you need God to step in and touch your body, touch your heart, touch someone that you love? You need to start thanking Him for what He is in sight, not done yet, but what you in faith see Him doing. and give Him glory for that. Release the power of God over that person's life. See, the Bible talks about allowing the power that is in us to work itself out. And we do that through the glory of God, by giving Him glory over a situation in our life that we have no help and no power over. But we need to give God glory because He's the healing God. He is the Jehovah Rapha, the healing God, the God who heals. See, we need to understand who God is and give Him glory. He heals. I've been healed of cancer. I had sporticosis that my medical doctor told me, you're going to die from that. There is nothing that'll touch it. We have nothing that'll touch it. Cut your hand off, he said, when it was in my fingers. He said, then when it got in my arm, he said, cut your arm off, Rudy. It's going to kill you. It's going to go to your lungs, and it's going to kill you. Just a little bit of peat moss got into a little cut, and it set up tumors everywhere in my body. Thank God I was anointed one day, and God healed me. God is the healer, and God will heal. But we need to understand that God, though He is the healer, sometimes He heals in ways other than touching your body. He does. We see Him in the Word of God. We see Him in the Pool of Siloam. They said there was over 5,000 people there in that 120-foot long pool. It's not a small pool. It was huge. Over 5,000 people were there, and they needed healing. God, through Jesus, healed one. Why didn't Jesus just say all of them be healed? Where Lazarus was put when he died, there was others in that tomb. They would leave him there for a year, let him decompose, and they would come and get their bones, and they would bury their bones. There were many in there. That's why he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. If he said, just come forth, all of them might have come forth. My goodness, wouldn't that have been a resurrection? God could have, and one day he will. One day he will. Those that have like nature like him, he's going to say, come up, and they're going to come up. Nothing's going to hold us down, as the song says. See, that is the glory of God. That is why we glorify Him. And He is the healer of our life. Many of you have been healed over things, and God will heal. But there's going to be a time that God says, no, I'm not going to heal you. I'm going to let you endure as Paul endured in the thorn in the flesh, and then I'm going to take you home. It's all right. It's okay. You're a winner either way. Understand. Give Him glory no matter what He does. Ask Him why that He hasn't healed you. Ask Him why that He tarries in His healing. In our cancer, we went several times to Vanderbilt. Months, a lot of money, a lot of tests. I got so tired of hearing them, boy, you're unique. We don't know what this is, but it's cancer, and we don't know. I want to tell you something. God healed, God touched, and God will again if He so chooses. But He's still God if He doesn't. And I give Him glory, and that is what this is about. We give Him glory no matter what happens in our life. We also give God glory because He's our comforter. The Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going to give you the comforter. When I leave, He's going to come, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And the word comforter there is paraclete, one who walks alongside of, one who holds up another. And that is exactly what Jesus is to us. He's the one that provides the comfort and the help in our lives. In John 16, it talks about Him being the comforter, but it also talks about Him being our helper and our counselor. Notice what it says. In verse 13 of John 16, it says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you unto all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. See, when we give glory to God, we connect ourselves automatically with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and communes with us, and it goes to God in power. Remember when you pray, what the Bible said, that when you pray, that the Holy Spirit of God supernaturally takes your prayer unto God. If it's wrong and you've prayed with the right heart, He'll change the prayer to reflect what you need. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit will present it to the Father. And because of the Son and the forgiveness that we have, it will be honored. What releases that power? Well, when we glorify God in every instance of our life, when we glorify Him as our comforter, as our healer, as our helper, as our counselor, It helps us to become sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the leadership of the Spirit of God and to His voice. Have you heard His voice? In the still of the night or in the troubled time, have you felt His peace? Have you heard Him speak, maybe with a Bible verse or with a thought or just with His presence? I have many times, and I know you have. And the joy and the peace that it brings. And see, that is what we have as a child of God, no matter what age we are. Listen, I can remember as a teenager, I would pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to do things, and He would do things. As I get older and older, and as I learn to trust Him more and learn how to glorify Him more in my life, His power, sometimes, a few times, I've said, Lord, that's too much, too great of a presence. We need to understand that God will give us what we want. That if we want His presence and we want His power, we want His closeness, His counsel, all we have to do is ask for it. We ask in glorifying Him. And that is what the Bible talks about here. So to glorify God is not to add glory to Him. It's not to bestow glory on the Lord. It's to recognize and acknowledge who He is. How do I do that? I want us to talk about that. We talked about it in the other message a little bit, and I don't want to gather over it. You can listen to this. It's still on there, I think. But to give God glory, to give someone glory, it means to give and to create weight for them, to give weight to them, to give honor to them, to lift them up. And when we honor God and glorify God and give weight to God and count Him as something greater than anything around us, we do that because of His beauty. The Bible talks about the beauty of His holiness, the beauty of His creation, the beautiful beauty of His glory. We need to understand that to glorify God is to make Him as beautiful as He really is. To acknowledge Him as beautiful as He really is and as glorious as He really is. How do I do that? John 14:13 tells us one way. Number one, we're to pray in Jesus' name. There's power there. Oh, my goodness. And see, to pray in Jesus' name is going beyond ourselves. It's saying, listen, it's not by my power, not by my might. It's by the Lord Jesus I present this. I ask for this. And that's all that Paul and Silas did on that fateful day when they met the man at the gate called Beautiful, and he was lame. And we don't come to you with our arms, with our help. We come to you in the name of the Lord. And see, that is what we do. So to glorify Him, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do you think the devil and everybody is trying to get you to not say Jesus? Why are they getting you to back out? You can pray, but don't pray to Jesus. Why pray? If we don't pray in Jesus' name, if we don't pray into Him, our prayers are empty, useless, vain. But we do pray in Jesus' name. The Bible said in John 14:13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, when we pray, every time we pray in Jesus' name, and don't you pray unless you add that name. Put it in the front and put it in the back. I remember I went to, I prayed over a college vacation, and one of the gentlemen, graduation I should say, one of the gentlemen, they come to me and they said, now we don't like people to say in Jesus' name. Can you pray without that name? And I just looked at him. I didn't say nothing. I wasn't going to lie to him. But I was going to pray in that name. So when I prayed, I said, Jesus, we're asking this right now in your name. And I said the prayer. And I say, Jesus, in your precious name. Because without your name, this prayer is empty. It is no good. And something like that, I prayed and I asked God's blessing. He never came back to me. Never asked me again, by the way. But as children of God, we need to do those things. Pray without Him? I can't pray without Him. Why should I? That's like sitting to the table and you got a plate and fork, but you have no food, nothing. It's useless. It's wasted. But thank God when we come to Christ and we pray, we come to God and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God hears our prayer. Can you say amen? And we glorify Him. So in Jesus' name I will pray. In Jesus' name I will ask my petitions. And God said He would bless. In Jesus' name, pray in that name. But also praise Him with your lips. Praise him with your lips, not just pray in his name. With your lips. Give him that, sometimes, as the brother said, that sacrifice of praise. With your lips. That's why I love testimonies. That's praising him with your lips. That's why I love singing. And I'm praying God will give me my voice back. And I didn't have much I want to start with, but I had some. I could at least carry a tune. And I want to sing again. I want to give God glory again in every way that I can. The Bible said in Psalm 63:3, my lips will glorify thee. And we need to glorify the Lord with our lips. That's why nothing evil should come forth from our lips. No murmuring, no complaining, no words that would discolor him. We're glorifying him. I will praise him with my lips. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, which we read about the man here, Isaiah here, he said to the angel, take the coal off of the fire and touch my lips, for they've been unclean. And we don't need to use unclean things coming out of our lips, our mouth, that praises the Lord, that gives him glory. The Bible said to praise him with your lips and give praise to God. Always, and this church is so wonderful, to give testimonies and to stand, no matter what's going on in your life, you give him praise and praise God for that. So we give him praise, but not only with our lips, but we're also to give him glory, and we do give him glory as we produce spiritual fruit in our lives. Fruit that's of God, fruit that's with God. The Bible says, the Bible says in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. What kind of fruit's he talking about? Well, see, an apple tree doesn't bear oranges. It bears the nature of who the apple tree is. My dad used to, and I've done two or three, that we would graft with buds onto the main tree, everything else. Dad had 11 different fruits on one tree one time. And that was something. And for 3 or 4 years, it bore those fruit. Not real big, but sweet, good. But the tree always goes back to its nature. It doesn't matter how many buds that you get, eventually it'll go back to what the tree is. What's your nature? Your nature, as you were created in Christ, as you were created after the image of God, and as we were saved, and God gloriously placed this fruit, this Holy Spirit in us, our nature is heavenly now. And the Bible said that we have spiritual fruit, fruit that comes through our obedience and our union with Christ, and God blesses, and God strengthens, and God lifts up, and God glorifies us to be called the sons of God. And we're to praise him. We're to glorify him. How do we do that? The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it talks about when we were endued with the Spirit of the living God, that God indwelt in us, that he placed within us the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things were placed in us. They're fruit in us, and we're to let it come out. You're going through a hard time right now. You don't know what the end looks like. You don't see light at the end of the tunnel. Long-suffering. Peace. Because God is your God. He's got you back. He'll take care of you. He's already in front of you. He's already in every one of your future events. He's there. Give him glory. So that's what the Bible says when we pray. The Bible says to pray, giving your supplications and all your prayers to God with thanksgiving. Thanking him for answering it before you even see it happen. See, that's glory. That's believing that God is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. See, that's what the Bible is talking about here, that we're to produce spiritual fruit. The Bible said in Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Boy, I like that. Learning more and more about Christ, placing that in your life and allowing God to use you. And then the Bible says, being fruitful with every good work in your life. So you're fruitful when you go into the doctor's office and he may have some bad news. All of us are taken back by some news. All of us have our feet knocked out from under us from time to time. But the child of God that has learned to give God glory will step back and say, God, I don't understand. I know you do. And I give you glory in this. See, that's what the Bible talks about. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits. And you know those words there are emphatic in the English or the Greek? It means you do it whether it's good or bad. You do it whether it's day or night. Because it's God's. In your spirit and in your body, you let the world know that you're going to glorify Him no matter what comes into your life. Can you just smile right now? I didn't say life, sister. Smile. We can smile. A smile tells the world that everything's okay. It's not a fake smile, though. It's not something that you simply do because the pastor said do it. What I'm talking about in your life, that you look to God and you smile in your heart and you say, God, I know you got this. It's okay. Some of you need to do that tonight. You need to say, God, you got this. You got it. And when you and I give it over to God and we glorify God in that way, it empowers Him and releases Him to work in and through our life and the lives of those we've prayed for. Let that power release itself. Allow God to work in it because He wants to receive anything from God. You must believe that He is and that He rewards His people. That's what it says. So we do. We believe in that. Lastly, not only do we produce spiritual fruit and glorify God, but in glorifying God, we pursue the good of others. We pursue the good of others. Others could be your enemy. Others could be those who have done you wrong, hurt you deeply. The Bible said we're to pursue them. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All. Boy, that's hard. Oh my, that's hard. That's hard when somebody's hurt you or said something about you or done something against, especially those you love. And it's hard when you don't have the money to pay your own bills and something else tears up. That's hard when someone you love is sick and you have no control over it and you don't know what to do. It's hard when there's trouble in the marriage or trouble at home or trouble abroad. It's hard. But God didn't say when it was easy, do it. He said, do it. Do it. I've got one more. I couldn't think of anything to go with it. I didn't get the chance to ask Donna. She gives me some. But it's just to live honorably, gloriously among those around us. If you've got a P that'll add to that, I'd love to have it, but I couldn't find it because it helps me remember them. I don't know about you. Listen to what 1 Peter, and I'm closing, chapter 2 says. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That they might see you glorify Him, lift Him up, forgive them. That they may see the good works that come forth from you, not of you, but of God. You give Him glory for it. I remember going to a person when I first got called to preach. That hurt me terribly. We became great friends. He and his wife have been here. Then he wasn't even married. He was married, didn't have a child. A long time ago. And I remember I preached my first sermon. Well, he walked out, but went up. His wife didn't walk out. He pulled his wife out with him. And that hurt me. That hurt me terribly and began to talk about me pretty badly. I was a young preacher. I did the best I knew how, and what I preached was the Word of God. It wasn't hard. It just hit him, and I didn't know that. And God said, Rudy, I want you to go to him. I want you to forgive him, and I want you to love him. I said, I don't want to love him. I didn't do anything wrong. I hadn't learned that I had to do that. I hadn't learned that for him to forgive me, I had to forgive that person. I remember dealing with that and I remember sitting out in my truck and crying and fussing with God. I didn't know how it worked then. That's many years ago. I do now. That God wasn't concerned about him with me. He was concerned about me. And that I couldn't continue to preach. I couldn't continue to minister. I couldn't continue to have joy unless I dealt with this God's way, not mine. And I remember I was at church one night and God said, go hug him. And I said, don't want to hug him. I was leading singing. He said, hug him. I said, I don't want to, God. I said, everybody here knows what he did. He don't deserve it. And God put the thought in my mind, you didn't deserve me to forgive you either, but I did. And I went to him. Because if my God can forgive me of all I've done, I can forgive anybody of anything. And I remember hugging him. And I said, and the thought came to me, God didn't say it, but he might as well have said it. He said, tell him you love him. I don't love him. I'm lying. And I looked at him and said, I love you. He just looked at me. The very next Sunday night, he did the same thing God did. And I had to do it again. And I said, I love you. Called his name. I said, I love you. I said it easier that time. It came and I meant it. And he looked back at me and he said, I'm sorry. I love you. And right there, standing up, we prayed. I prayed for him and he prayed for me. He sang here at our church since I've been here. They do a wonderful job singing. He's a good man. There's some good people that have done you wrong. They haven't received the forgiveness that you've received. They don't know what it is to serve God. I don't know why they've refused. But they need your forgiveness. They need you to love them. Because when you do that, you give God glory. You're lifting him up. And they won't see you, they'll see him. See, that's what glory is about. The Bible said we've been bought with a price. Therefore, can we not glorify God with our body and our spirits, which are God's? Our prayer tonight ought to be, God, how can I glorify you? Teach me, show me. See, every one of our lives are different. But right where you are tonight, I want you to say, God, help me to show glory for you in every circumstance of my life. Help me to love as you loved me, unreservedly, unabashedly, unbridled. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we want to honor you and glorify you with everything that we have. Forgive us of our many sins. Forgive us of our struggles. Forgive us of our pride. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, in everything. In every situation of our life, to give you glory. To make you look as good as you really are. For we're the only image of God that they'll see in this life. Help us to shine bright. You said, Lord, that we are to let our light so shine among men that they may see your glory. The Lord, we're to lift you up, and that in lifting you up, it will draw all men, you said, to you. To lift you up means to glorify you, to make you look as good as you really are. It matters how we live our life. It matters what we hold inside. Help us to be true to you. Help us to be children of God, to give you glory. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and some of you will lift up your heart. Some may lift up your hands unto the Lord. However you do it, some of you may bow your head and just humble your hearts that way. But would you tonight and say, God, take my body. Take my mind. I give it all to you. Everything. All of my circumstances, all of my hurt, all of my fear, all of my anger. give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight.